Aloha and welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. My name is Lokelani and I am your host, and I'm joined by my husband, Alex, who is preaching about rest. Every human is looking for the same thing, and that is rest. It is found in the face of God. Knowing Him for who He really is and being at peace with Him is how our soul can finally rest from its eternal work. We punch our spiritual work card and take a deep existential breath once Jesus reveals to us that He is the only way to the Father. In this episode, Alex will unpack what it means to find rest in God. We're continuing our series in Matthew, looking at chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. I will go ahead and read. We're in the ESV version. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Amen. Amen. If you're looking for rest from social media garbage, make sure you follow us on Instagram. And Amen Podcast on Instagram is a refreshing, restful place just to hear reminders about what God calls you and what you're called to and who Christ really is. And yeah, it's a good little preaching spot to hang out. Anyway, with that said, if you're looking for rest, let's look at what it means to really find rest inside of God. Because in these verses, when it says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. There's some things that happen right before that we have to look at that Jesus says that reveal to us what rest really is. Verse 25, it says, "At that time, Jesus declared." At what time? He had just denounced the unrepentant cities of Chorazin, Tyre, Sidon. We talked about in the last episode. After denouncing them, defaming them, railing at them, then he turns and he says, "God, I thank you, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have hidden these things from people like them, wise and understanding, unrepentant people who think they know everything, who think their stuff don't stink, who think, you know, they can be lukewarm. They can be on the fence. They can be friends with Jesus, but not allow him to be their connection to the Father. They don't want to be on the same page as Jesus. Some of these towns were proud. Capernaum was proud of Jesus, but they didn't want to be a part of Jesus. So he says, "I thank you, Father. It's so amazing, so praiseworthy of you to hide these things from people like that and reveal them to little children." What does it mean to be a little child in verse 25? Jesus doesn't mean only like elementary aged kids. While those do understand God very well because of how simple and innocent they are, he's referring to people of all ages who have the disposition of a child. Mm-hmm. Children are dependent on their parents. Children are innocent. Children are, though they're still sinful, you know, they have an innocence to them. Children are simple creatures. And there are those in the earth who don't come from rich and knowledgeable backgrounds. There are those who come from lower backgrounds. You know, in me, I grew up, we weren't always wealthy. You know, there's times we were poor. There's times where I was the only black kid at the whole private school and I felt alone. I felt weird. I felt misunderstood. I wasn't a kid that, you know, had a silver spoon in his mouth. And there's some of you who don't come from very respectable backgrounds. There's some of you who are ashamed of their past, ashamed of your family, ashamed. I remember when I was growing up, it was Grandparents' Day And my great grandparents raised my mom. And so she was raised by her grandparents. And so while everyone's grandparents looked their age, my grandparents were super old and super black. And at these private schools, I was embarrassed for Grandparents Day. And yet I was still cognitive of the idea of being embarrassed of your grandparents. And so I held it back. Like I tried to act like I wasn't embarrassed, but I was so torn because of where I come from, because of my family. And I was embarrassed of it for no good reason, but I was a little kid. And some of you are so embarrassed from where you come from, but God is saying those backgrounds are the backgrounds that I chased down. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, the gospel, the real sovereign good God is a God who doesn't play favorites with people. He's a God who doesn't track down you because of how financially awesome you are, how talented, how good looking you are. He doesn't do that. He chases down those the world doesn't want. The world pushes aside. This is why we have to be careful with all those people out there who the church is so quick to point a finger at and say, well, you're too messed up. You're too dirty. You're too gross. We got to be careful. The transgender stuff, the homosexual stuff is evil. It's wicked. It's sinful. 100%. We have to be very kind and gentle in the way that we talk to people at times. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's the gentleness of Jesus that draws us to him. Mm-hmm. It's the grace of God that draws us to repentance. The devil doesn't ever want you thinking about how good and nice and gentle and beautiful and kind and gracious God is. He just wants you thinking about the judgment of God, the wrath of God, what you're going to get if you don't turn to God. He's okay with you thinking about those things because they can frighten you into never turning to God or trusting him. What he doesn't want you thinking about is how good God is, how kind and beautiful and gracious he is. Mm-hmm. That's what breaks something inside of your heart that makes you want to turn to him and love him eternally. That's the beauty of God. And so when we're talking to people, when we're evangelizing, when we're being our Christian selves inside of our workplaces, we got to make sure that we're reflecting all of God, not just half of God, yes. Not just a part of God. Yes. So Jesus is saying, if you want to find rest, what you're actually going to find when you get rest is you're going to find the real God. Rest is being with and understanding the real God. And the real God is a God who's sovereign over what the world dictates, over what the world says. God doesn't need our help. God is completely sovereign, which means election is a thing. That's what he's talking about here. He elects to reveal himself to those who think low of themselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Not blessed are those who think they have it all together. His election means he doesn't have to choose people. He chooses who he wants because he's sovereign. That is what it means to be God. He's sovereign. On top of that, this phrase, little children, does also mean choosing in your free will to put your accolades, to put all your stuff aside and say, it doesn't matter how successful I am in the world, none of that translates into the kingdom. Laying that aside means you go from being this quote unquote wise and understanding, unrepentant person to being a little child. You have to choose to do that. The election of God and the free will of man, they work together. They're not mutually exclusive. They both happen paradoxically at the same time. Resting means understanding that. Resting, you won't be able to rest until you say, okay, he's 100% sovereign. He does elect. At the same time, I have choices to make. That's where rest is. Verse 26, yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Another translation says, it pleased you so. Let us be pleased in that which God is pleased with. That's what it means to be a child of God. How can God be sovereign? How can he do the things he does? Why does he do the things he does? Because it pleases him. Because he's righteous, because he's holy. There's nothing wrong with him. When we ask the wrong questions, we ask the wrong questions because we think something's wrong with God. We have to start formulating every question we have for God under the umbrella of, I know you're not wrong, so where am I missing the mark? Where am I missing the point? We have to start formulating every question like that. If you ask God questions insinuating that he may be wrong about something, or that he may have messed up about something, or he wasn't clear enough on something, you're asking the wrong questions. God doesn't owe you revelation. The only thing God owes you is death. You know that, right? The wages of sin is death. Wages means payment, meaning the only payment that we deserve for our great job at sinning is death. That's all he owes you. Anything else is grace, getting something you do not deserve. We have to formulate our questions to God by saying, God, I know you're not wrong about this, and so show me where I'm getting it wrong. If it pleases you, help me to be pleased with it. Change my heart. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What that means is we can get so caught up with what the world is telling us to do that we get so bent at thinking God is wrong about stuff and I need to change it. No, God's not wrong about your gender. God's not wrong about where he's placed you. God's not wrong about the parents he gave you. God's not wrong about anything. We are the ones that are wrong. When we go to the Word of God, what we're saying is, I'm reading this and I'm trusting this because it's going to change my mind. It's going to transform. It's going to metamorphosize my mind so I can understand the perfect and pleasing will of God. When you let the Word of God, which is Jesus, sharper than any two-edged sword, go into your heart and penetrate your heart and change it, what you're allowing to happen is you're allowing yourself to start to see things the way God sees things so that you can be pleased with the things that please God. And newsflash, you'll never be pleased unless you're pleased with the things that pleases God. If it pleases God, it's perfect. If it pleases God, it's 100% good. If it pleases God, it's good for you. If it pleases God, it's what you're meant for. It's what you're destined for. It's what he calls you for. If it pleases him, then it'll most definitely please you to the brim. We are not truly satisfied unless we are truly satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him, John Piper would say. Let's keep going. 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus is saying, there's no one that knows God the Father like I do. No one truly knows him except me. Jesus is also saying that unless I reveal him to you, you're not going to be able to know God. That's crazy. What he's saying is Jesus, the Son of God, is the only one that has the power to. So this is the problem that we have with rest. The only way to get there is through revelation. If rest is finding the real God, the only way to get there is through revelation of who that real God is. And that revelation is only found in one single place, the Word of God. Jesus calls himself the Word of God. He's the words in the flesh. How can you get to know someone without words? You cannot get to know someone through the words of another. You have to get to know someone through the words that they have spoken. This is why cancel culture is so heavy, because we follow these people and we celebrate them and we praise them, and then they say something that is completely out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And then we realize, oh, that is who you are.
Yeah.
Way back in like 2013, Rick Ross, who's a rapper, he put in a song and admitted to giving girls Molly and then abusing them. He admitted it in a song. And so he got canceled. He's never made a comeback from that. Why? We realize, oh, that's your character. A person's word reveals their character. How can we know God unless he speaks to us? This is why Abraham and Miriam get a scolding from God, because they are complaining about the mouthpiece of God at the time, which was Moses. Moses gave them the law. Moses met with God, spoke to him face to face. And so they're complaining about Moses, and God says to Miriam and Aaron, you're really in trouble now. Because before, I never spoke to you the way I speak to Moses. And so you better repent, because I speak to Moses face to face. He is speaking to you my words. So to complain about Moses is to complain about what I'm saying. And that's not okay. The only way to get to know God is through his word. Jesus is his word. That's why he says, all of the power to get to know God is in my hands. He's saying, you cannot know God unless the Son chooses to reveal himself to you. Likewise, I don't have to choose to reveal myself to you guys. The reason why you and I are so close because of this podcast is because I choose to open up and to be vulnerable and to talk about things that's going on in my life. And that creates trust between me and you. You trust me as a teacher because I've been honest with you about my struggles, about my shortcomings, about where I need help. Jesus doesn't have any of those things. He doesn't have any shortcomings. What he has is knowledge of God because he's one with God, and he chooses to open up to us. And so if we choose to be unrepentant and unresponsible with that knowledge, like we talked about in the last episode, then what's going to come is the judgment of God. Part of the judgment of God is not truly knowing who he is, because knowing who God really is rest. Think about all the people out there. Maybe you're one of them who have daddy issues. You can't rest because of those daddy issues. You can't rest because you and your dad don't have that real restful relationship. And so we find ourselves in so much unrest, chasing after things, looking for a hug, looking for an affirmation from our Father in those things. To know the real God is to rest and to say, oh, I don't have to do that anymore. I have to look for that anymore. That revelation is only found in Jesus. Now, what's the solution? How do we get that revelation? Verse 28, come to me. Not go and find the revelation for yourself. That's the garden. That's the garden. That's Satan saying, you know, really all God is holding back from you is knowledge. So you should go out and get it for yourself. And look at where that got us. We know a lot about stuff we don't need to know about.
Yep.
We opened up a can of worms. We opened up Pandora's box. We logged into the internet. And now we know stuff we don't need to know. That's what the garden is. That's what the internet is. Knowing a bunch of stuff you don't need to know. Knowledge of good and evil. We didn't need that. And so now we have it, and we still struggle with going back to that tree. Mm-hmm. You know, the crazy thing about the tree of life is it was always meant for us to keep going back to. The tree of life was this place that gave us life, and we could eat of that tree freely. It was meant to go back to. The knowledge of good and evil tree was a tree that we were never supposed to eat from in the first place. But when we do eat of it now, what's going to happen? We're going to keep going back to it. And that's what we do. We keep on looking for knowledge outside of God. That's our problem. We keep on looking for revelation of who the real God is in the wrong places. You're not going to find them in sex. You're not going to find them in seminary. You're not going to find them in TV. You're not going to find them on TikTok. The revelation of the real God comes from Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the heavy part about what it means to be a sovereign God, is he can choose to reveal himself to you, and you can choose also to look for revelation of him in the wrong places. The world says, look for the revelation of the true God through your own good works. Be smart enough. Study hard enough. Go to the right schools, be moral enough, and then you'll find revelation of the real God. No, you won't. The world says, look for the revelation of the real God inside of pleasure, inside of success, inside of money, inside of acceptance, inside of accommodations inside of accolades. And then you'll find the revelation of the real God. This is what life looks like, people. People are looking for the revelation of the real God in the wrong places, inside of the church and outside of the church. And Jesus says, what? Come to me. Mm-hmm. If you want to know who God is. He doesn't say, go out and figure it out. He says, just come to me. That is the beautiful, merciful invitation of the gospel. Come to me. Mm-hmm. And then he says, do these two things after that. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What does that mean? A yoke was something that they place on bulls or other animals, but mostly bulls, to plow a field. It was this wooden arch-shaped device that they would put on the back of a bull, and the bull would pull the plow, and it would get the dirt ready for plants to be planted. So in the Old Testament, and in the early days, they would use the idea of a yoke to talk about the law. And the rabbis would say, put yourself under the yoke of the law. And that meant take on the moral standard and the burden of the law upon yourself and fit yourself into that and stay in that lane and walk and plow and stay under the yoke of the law. The problem with that yoke is it's too darn heavy for you and I. It breaks us. If a yoke was too heavy for a bull, it would hurt the bull. The bull would not be able to do its job. The bull would not be able to move. And the law of God was supposed to be so heavy, such a burdensome yoke. It was supposed to crush us. It was supposed to make us stop moving and realize, unless someone lifts this off of me, I cannot do anything. The law was never supposed to be perfectly fulfilled by us. It was supposed to show us that we can't perfectly fulfill it unless someone helps us, unless the Holy Spirit of God empowers us. The problem with that is the Holy Spirit of God can't indwell a dirty temple like you and I. So we have to be cleansed. That's what Christ did. His yoke comes from coming to him. He says, come to me and take my yoke.
Yeah.
My yoke means trusting in me to give you the power to obey the law so you can be right with God. Trusting in me to make you right with God. And once you're already right with God, taking that yoke means walking with me. Where there's grace, where there's mercy, where there's power over sin. That's Jesus's yoke. And lastly, he says, learn from me. Once you let go of the yoke of the law or the yoke of the world, and you take on the yoke of Jesus, now you can learn from him. The yoke of the world is going to say, take on the pursuit of happiness. Take on the pursuit of pleasure. Take on the pursuit of price. Take off that yoke. It's going to crush you. It's meant to crush you. Why do we see celebrities so unhappy? Why do we see celebrities ending themselves? Why do we see that? It's because the yoke of the world is crushing them. Why do we see spiritual leaders cheat on their wives? Why do we see spiritual leaders greedy? Why do we see people in the church deconstruct? Why? The yoke of the law is crushing them. Don't you see? The yoke of Jesus doesn't crush because of the mercy and the grace of God and the power he gives us. Once you put that on, now you can learn from him. How do you learn from him? By walking with him. By doing life with him. We read the gospels, we read the letters, we read scripture. All the Old Testament points to Jesus, shows us pictures of Jesus before Jesus is brought to earth as an infant, born as a baby. They're all pictures of him. We have to read the Old Testament that way. We have to read the New Testament, seeing how Jesus himself empowers us to live the life God has called us to. Mm-hmm. You have to change the way. You have to, preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. That's why this podcast is about applying the good news of Jesus. What is the good news of Jesus? He's given us a new yoke that we can live with.
Yeah.
Now we can work, we can move and breathe in him, in his being. That's how we have our being. And that is how you find rest for your souls. So look at the areas in your life that verse 30 is talking about, where it says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Mm-hmm. Anyone who tries to live by the Beatitudes is going to see how hard it is. But living by the Beatitudes is easy compared to the yoke of the law and the yoke of the world. Because his yoke says, blessed are the poor in spirit, the lowly in heart, those who don't think they have it all together. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. It's a different yoke. It's an easier yoke. And the Beatitudes can only be lived up to if we're wearing his yoke, if we're learning from him, if we're coming to him. He is that tree of life that we're called to keep coming back to. If you're hungry, thirsty for spiritual things, go back to the tree of life. That fruit is juicy. That fruit is hearty. That fruit is satisfying. It quenches your thirst. It takes away your hunger. That is Christ. We got to keep coming back to him. Don't try to go find knowledge in any other place. Yes. You're not going to find rest there. In Amos talks about this rest. And in Hebrews, it talks about this rest. And what Amos and Hebrews are both talking about is the fact that rest is eternal. When you find rest in Christ, you find eternal rest. Those who choose to be wise and understanding in their own eyes are arrogant, and they shall not ever enter the rest of God because they're not being like little children. But those of us who humble ourselves and take off the yoke of the world, the yoke of the law, what we're doing is we're entering into God's rest. This is why and how you can live a simple and quiet life in Christ, because that's how Christ lived. Mm-hmm. What that means is, okay, I don't have to chase like money. I don't have to chase what the world is telling me that I need. Mm-hmm. I can take off that yoke. And I also don't have to climb the social ladder of the church. Yeah. I don't have to like work so that other Christians give me attaboys.
Yeah.
I don't have to live for that.
Yep.
Because that's the yoke of the law. What I'm really doing is I'm thinking that if enough Christians think I'm awesome, then maybe God will think I'm awesome. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do enough good moral things for God to say, come on in and enter my rest. That's not how you get there. Mm-hmm. You're not moving in the kingdom. When we look to Jesus and we go to him and we simply just come to him, what we're saying is I'm taking off that yoke. I'm not chasing any of those things anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning from you. I'm getting yoked up with you, and I'm going to walk with you. And as I walk, I'm going to see people in those other yokes, not moving, not going anywhere, stuck, crushed, pressed down. And I'm going to say, I don't want that. The longer you walk with Jesus under his yoke, the more those yokes that are from the world and from the law look more and more horrible to you. And you remember, man, I remember when I was in that. And the more you walk under that yoke and the more freedom you walk in, the more freedom you proclaim, the more people who are under those yokes will see, oh, wait, yeah, that does sound good. So what I love, like what's going on with Gideon right now, is he's letting go of the yoke of the world. Mm-hmm. He's deleting all his old videos. He's deleting his old life. And saying, hey, this may sound crazy to you, but look at me. I'm not crushed anymore. Mm. I can move. I can breathe in Christ. So take his yoke. And the only thing you have to do is just come to him. That means return to him. That means repent. That means have your mind remade into something new. So Jesus, what he did is he was crushed under the yoke of the law. So we wouldn't be crushed under the yoke of the world. He was crushed under the yoke so we could take upon a new yoke, his yoke. That's where the power comes from. And though he was crushed for our iniquities, he rose again to new life. He's alive. He's risen. He says, come to me. And he's waiting just to put that, his yoke, which is easy, his burden, which is light, upon you. He's alive right now. And the invitation still stands. How long will you stay crushed, pressed down under that yoke? Because he stands right now with holes in his hands, open towards you, saying, come. Father, we thank you so much for the invitation of the gospel. And God, we pray that we would rest from the work that is crushing us, rest from the work that is pointless, that is immovable, and that we would find the simple and quiet and beautiful surrendered life full of joy, full of satisfaction in your Son, and others would see that and answer the call to come to you. In your name we pray, amen.
The part of the episode called After the Amen, where we ask you a question to help you apply this message to your life. And our question today is,
what's crushing you?
What is crushing you? What is crushing you? This is so good. And I'll go first as always. Sorry, guys. But this is so good because I think what crushes me a lot, and I feel like I talk about this lot, actually, is like what other Christians are doing, you know? And it's so interesting because in this section, it says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And this week, what has been crushing me and conflicting me is like this like voice of like this TikTok, and it's like a bit about Jesus and the Father, and pretty much like God the Father is like not getting mad, but kind of like getting mad at Jesus for doing miracles when he should be doing other things. And it's just like a total misrepresentation of Christ. Like they are one. That's not what the relationship looks like. And yeah. And so just like getting frustrated, you know, like that's just something this week that I'm so frustrated with, and I want to obsess over how to fix it or how to change people's minds or like how to help the people who are engaging with this content, not necessarily the creator, but like the people who are engaging with it. Like, and that makes me completely restless. And in turn, like, so these creators making these memes, they're misrepresenting Christ. But if I am like obsessing over this or getting restless over this, then eventually I start misrepresenting Christ too in my home or in my thoughts or whatever it is. And in turn, I'm unable to one, find rest, but also effectively serve the people that God is calling me to serve, whether that's my children in my home or people in my community. And it really feels like this is so, like, I have to fix this. I have to change this. And it's like, I love what you said, Alex, about we know more than we need to know. Like, Judas was a part of the original 12 disciples. And so, of course, people are going to act like this on the internet. Of course, people are going to act like this in public and our social circles. And it's not like a surprise. Yes, it's completely heartbreaking. Yes, we shouldn't just say, oh, it's okay, it's not a big deal. Like, of course, but we cannot over obsess with it and allow ourselves to continue to know more than we need to know. We just need to shake the dust and move on and serve those who Christ is asking us to serve. And of course, like you're saying, like come to him first. When we come to him, he empowers us with the wisdom and knowledge we need to carry on. What we need to say, if we need to say something in situations like that, and how to serve others instead. And so this is just, yeah, that's really good. And, yeah, just coming to Jesus. Mm-hmm. We want to know so much in this life, and we have access to the fullness of God through Christ, and Jesus is the Word of God. And so we have 24/7, 365 access, through the Word of God, through the Bible. And we really, what's the, like, forfeit our peace.
Yeah.
When we choose to go anywhere but Christ first.
Yeah. So I was thinking about what you were saying about that particular skit that everyone's doing on social media, you know, misrepresenting the relationship between Jesus and the Father. Mm-hmm. And I think the world tells us, like, speak your mind, be a keyboard warrior. And, like, tell people what you think about this and how biblically wrong this is, and just fight in the comments. Or if you know that person, contact them personally, DM them and give them a piece of your mind. That's like worldly behavior, right? Yeah. Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord.
Right.
But then the worldly side is, well, you just need to be a louder voice for God. You just need to shine your light brighter than that person. And what people really mean by that is work harder at being a moral standard for people. Mm-hmm. Work harder at being a moral leader, and make more content and kind of overshadow them and point them out, or make a piece of content that points out why they're wrong and put them on the thumbnail. So you see how the yoke of the world and the yoke of the law is constantly always pulling at us in our life. Yeah. And in that situation, like, we lose rest over it, because we're going back and forth between, which yoke should I be in? The yoke of the world and speak my mind, or the yoke of the law and I need to work more and do more for the kingdom? Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke and learn from me, because he knows when you're with him, when you're walking with him and you're walking in obedience to the Father, he'll whisper things to you like, don't worry, I got this.
Yep.
He'll whisper to you things like, Martha, what are you so, like, flustered about? Mm-hmm. Mary, she gets it.
Yeah.
She's come to me. Mm-hmm. She's taken my yoke. She's sitting at my feet. She's learning from me. So Martha, chill. Just chill. And this is what coming to Jesus does. He'll tell you, when you're walking with him, when you have his yoke, when you're close to him, when you're frequenting his table, what he'll say is things like, okay, well, let's do this about that.
Right.
Have you thought about sacrifice? Have you thought about humility? Have you thought about slowing down? Or he'll say, you don't need to worry about that. I'll take care of it. He's either going to grab you by the hand and say, let's do this. Or he's going to squeeze your hand harder and say, I already did it. Mm-hmm. He's never going to say, go and do it by yourself. What does he tell the disciples when he sends them out? He says, go out into all the world and do it by yourself. No, he says, for I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. We never have to go out and do anything for God without Jesus being there hand in hand with us. He calls us to be with him at all times. Mm-hmm. You know, this Lokalani and I were driving around, and I'll end with this. And she was like, why do people on this island not hang out with their spouses? Whenever we see our acquaintances or people that we know going out, sometimes they'll go out with a girlfriend, or they'll go out with a boyfriend, or, you know, a guy friend, but they won't go out together as a spouse. And it's because our world, the yoke of the world, has taught us, you need mommy time, you need daddy time. And we've seen people in our life submitting themselves to that. If you're one, you're not going to find rest in your daddy time, in your mommy time. You're going to find rest when you guys get to go out together and connect and remember the mission that you're on, to raise these kids, to reflect Jesus, mm-hmm. because you're one. You don't belong to yourself anymore. Yeah. That's what it means to be with Christ too. You don't belong to yourself anymore. There is no, I need some sinner time to myself. No, you're one with your Savior. Everywhere you go with him. That's what you signed up for. There's this meme that's going around from Shia LaBeouf, and it's from a movie, and the world is ending. Some crazy stuff is happening, and this guy is complaining. And Shia LaBeouf's character looks at him and says, stop, what are you doing? This is what you signed up for. This is what you wanted. It's happening now. So stop complaining. And the way he says, I love it. I could watch it a million times, that 13-second clip, because I find myself just so many times complaining about my life. Oh, these kids, oh, the podcast. Oh, oh. And I feel the Lord telling me, what are you talking about, dude? This is what you signed up for. This is what you wanted. This is what you prayed about. And now it's not good enough for you? Stop complaining. Being one with God means he's got it. He's got you. It's okay. Trust in him. Keep eating from the tree of life. It's all going to be okay. We don't have to worry about these keyboard warriors. We don't have to worry about these people online who are making a fool of themselves and trying to make a fool of Jesus. You can't make a fool of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You try to make a fool of Jesus, you will be looking like a fool. Yep. The Romans who crucified him, the Jews who spit on him, who looks more foolish now that he's risen from the dead? Try to make a fool of Jesus. You're going to look foolish. It's all going to make sense in the end when he comes back. And in the meantime, he's working it out.
That's so good. I love that. I love that you said, like, keep eating from the tree of life. And I feel like there's like just a point in our child's lives, just children in general, where they start asking why? They want to know. And it's almost like you see their freedom to just be, like, leave them in those moments. Like, they're more consumed about why we need to do it or how we need to do it. And it's not like this free, joyful thing for them anymore.
Yeah.
And it just, like, had that picture in my mind. Mm. And so, yeah, eating from the tree of life is freedom, you know? Knowledge is not always bad, but too much knowledge is burdensome. So.
I like you almost said, it almost sounded like you said you were going to say trough. And it's like, instead of eating from the tree of life, we eat from the trough of death. And I think about, like, the prodigal son eating from the trough of the pigs. He chose that, though. Like, that's where he got himself. Yep. He wanted that. The whole time he was eating from the trough of death, but it didn't smell or taste like that until he hit rock bottom.
Yep.
You know, and there's like a Disney movie where that illustration is pointed out, where it's like, or it's a Disney movie, or there's a certain movie where it's like, all the food looks so good, and then you start eating it, and it's like garbage. Oh, there's a movie. It's going to destroy me all day if I don't get this. But there's this movie where there's this, like, sorcery or this illusion of this beautiful, great food, and they eat of it, and it's like they're just tearing it up, but the whole time it's actually just garbage. And a person is able to see through the illusion and say, wow, these people are eating garbage. And that's how sin is. It's what lies are. You know, even this happens in Peter Pan too, where the one with Robin Williams, where they're all feasting and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
They're eating air. But to them, they can see all these great, yummy food. And what's interesting is in the movie, they tell us we need to be like that.
Yeah.
But no, you don't need to be like that. You're eating nothing. And I find myself saying more of the things that my parents said to me that I hated. You know, I'd ask my mom, what are you doing? And she would say stuff like, none of your business. And I hated that as a kid, but now I find myself saying that kind of stuff to my kids, because, like Lokalani is saying, you don't need to know everything. You're losing your freedom. You're giving up your freedom just because you want to know everything. But babies don't do that. Today, I sat on the stairs with Luke as he went up and down the stairs a dozen times, opened and closed the gate, opened and closed the gate, opened and closed the gate. And we get frustrated when the gate wouldn't close. Why? He sees us go up and down the stairs a dozen times a day. He sees us open and close the gate. And so he is so satisfied with just copying what he sees us doing. This is what it means to come to Jesus, to learn from him, to take his yoke upon you. Don't be asking all kind of questions. I mean, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Just come and learn from him. Amen. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Amenpodcast.com to support us, to follow us on Instagram, subscribe to our other podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Google, and keep us ad free. We are generously provided for by our supporters that allow us to do everything that we do for free. And we love that, and we can't do it without you.
Yes, and we're just so thankful for you all. Until next time, go out and be the church.
Amen.